right, we will call the meeting to order. At this time, we will start with a moment of silence and then a pledge of allegiance and the flag.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have time set aside for residents of the school district who wish to address the board. Is there anyone this evening that wanted to speak? Hearing none, we'll move into the personnel report. We have a personnel report. Were there any comments or anything on that?
I just wanted to share that Donna and Ed worked together and they finalized the list of advisors, sports coaches, and volunteers. So we were able to add that onto the personnel report.
Okay. Hopefully everyone had an opportunity to review that, and at this time then I would look for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any other discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And the personnel report is approved.
Mr. Chairman, if I could interrupt.
Yes.
We could just rearrange the order of the agenda just a little bit. Ed Yamsuka is here and needs to get back out to some events taking place outside. Actually, in the gymnasium, but you can involve
both. I'll tell you that.
Both. Okay, both. So if we could move the discussion regarding lacrosse up to the beginning of the agenda, only to get Ed back out to his responsibilities, I'd appreciate that. The other thing I want to announce before we go any further is we do have a new reporter here from Lancaster Newspaper. Dr. Emory Steele is joining us. Hopefully you guys won't chase this one out too. I don't know what happens. We just get through the one reporter, we get trained, and then they go off and somewhere else. But Emory has been working with us at Columbia and has been covering the Columbia Borough School District and is now assigned here, so we welcome Emory to the room. Thank you.
I like to think of it that we're so easy to work with that everybody, they all want to come here, so we have to take turns.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Do you want to move the whole management? Just move the management.
We could.
Sure. We'll slip up the management committee and property services. So we'll start with the management committee, Dr. Howell.
Okay. At the last meeting, I had suggested that we take some of the revenue or a large portion of the revenue earned from the Columbia Borough School District partnership that we have been engaged in this past year and commit those funds to bringing lacrosse on as a full-time sport and under our full supervision, or at least in part financing that. At this juncture, after the conversation last week or last month, it appears that we really have probably several different choices to pick from. One would be to just do nothing and allow lacrosse to continue to function as it is, as a non-varsity sport. To fund it partially as described previously, or as the conversation started to drift last month, to bring lacrosse in fully as a fully endorsed and supported sport here in the school district. That is my recommendation at this point, is to bring lacrosse in. If you recall, and many of you will recall, because it was about 10 years ago, that was very early in my tenure as superintendent, lacrosse had made a pitch to come to us to make them a full-blown sport. At that time, the board gave them direction that if they continued to grow the sport and continued to show that the support of the community, that the board would periodically revisit that decision. I think we're at that juncture now. As we spoke last month, lacrosse is clearly a sport that's becoming more and more popular across the country. Certainly in this region, certainly in this county, and most especially just to the east of us, lacrosse is a huge sport. We are seeing our students earn scholarships even under the current arrangement, and I do believe that we would better serve students if we would in fact bring lacrosse in as a full-blown sport. I provided to you ahead of time an approximate cost breakout, and I've asked Ed to be here to answer any questions in case we in fact have missed anything or need to adjust anything. But I was pleased that the overall cost was actually less than I expected it to be, not understanding that athletes in lacrosse buy parts of their equipment year after year that are just kind of personalized. So at this point, I would open the discussion up for the board to comment on a direction. Again, the recommendation would be that we would bring lacrosse in as a full sport, and if we would do that this year. We could do it as quickly as this year, since the season really doesn't begin until this spring. Certainly, this is a conversation, dialogue at the point. Ed is here to answer questions. I will do my best to answer questions as well. So I'll turn it over to you for discussion.
Okay, comments, questions?
Mr. Rand, so with the salary increases, does that increase our contribution to the users?
In listed in the report?
Yep.
That's correct. It will have to be above and beyond.
Well, I, for one, I was here when it was first brought up, and I think that the lacrosse folks did jump through every hoop and really did show that it is an up-and-coming sport, not just up-and-coming, but it's here. And at the time, I remember saying, you know, I'm not against the sport of lacrosse. In fact, I have nieces and nephews that are drawn to it, but I was saying we need to find the money. And I think that, you know, with this is an avenue that we have found the money, and I think that we should bring lacrosse in the whole way. That being said, if there's a, now they'd be a school sport, just like football, just like soccer, and if there would be the need, the funding wasn't there, I think that we'd be having to ask not just lacrosse, but all of our sports teams to take those cuts. It wouldn't be a matter of now we're cutting lacrosse because we no longer have the money. We're now endorsing them as our school sport. And I felt for years that some of the other sports should be asked to try and find ways to, through booster clubs and other funding communities, contribute a little more. And I mean, not that they're not contributing now, but if we feel the squeeze, that's where I would be wanting to go with it. So yeah, I think it's a great move. I think we should do it.
And I have one question. The numbers that you put together from a budget perspective, was that based on current roster sizes, historical roster sizes, and just maybe along the lines of Jenny's question, as those roster sizes would grow, is that taken into account for future years? Or if that projection doesn't hold true for this year, if there's more interest than currently, what happens to that budget and what's the impact?
Use the mic.
Okay.
So we have.
I think some of the best answers to your question are basically what you're looking at with regards to size of the rosters. You're looking at number of helmets and number of uniforms. You know, with lacrosse, they're all going to fit on one bus, just like the soccer program does. The transportation costs will basically remain the same as with all the other sports. The numbers that I have on here, boys with 35, and girls, I also have at 35. That's the girls' numbers haven't been that high, so I estimated probably a little bit higher just to give everybody a pretty good idea with that. The boys' numbers, last year they were down a little bit, but 2 years ago they were really good. So those numbers will fluctuate with our soccer teams. If you're looking at uniforms, we purchase 40 sets of uniforms, and you know, we don't use 40 sets every year, but we have it there because you buy above and beyond, you know, in case there's damage to uniforms, blood uniforms that coaches will take with them. But you know, I looked at, you know, with the boys team, the average over the past couple of years, and they were 35 sets of uniforms at this point. You know, that will definitely give us enough to cover our boys roster and still have that surplus. The helmets, you know, just like with football, those are going to be, you know, some of the most expensive pieces. But with 35 helmets, you know, I think we'll definitely be good with that. We'll get, you know, getting all sorts of different sizes, like
one of the initial concerns was that we didn't have the field space, and then with girls' soccer being moved to the fall, it did open up some. Are they using the stadium for any lacrosse or outdoor golf?
Yes. Currently, in the past 2 years, since boys lacrosse lost the Pepford Fields, they have been on campus for all their practices and all their games. So essentially, they don't get on the stadium field until the end of track practice. So you're looking at a 5:30 to 6 o'clock evening start time for practices, and then all of their games are in the evening as well. So boys lacrosse is on that stadium field every single day during the spring season. Girls lacrosse, they practice over on the Tower Road fields, and that field is a little bit smaller size. It's not a full varsity field, but it is still legal to play on. What I do is I just contact the opposing schools and I let them know that it's not a full size. Nobody has ever had a problem with coming here and playing on that field. This past year, we tried to get them into the stadium for as many games as possible. Obviously, there are some conflicts with track meets with the high school and the junior high, but essentially that stadium field is being used on a daily basis in the spring, and right now we do have the field space with the girls on Tower Road when needed and the boys in the stadium.
And just as a point of information, I did consult with Mr. Walsh to see if the field could take it, and he's confident that it's not a problem. He's gone to a spring seating in the past. He's seated in the summer, and he's found that seating in the spring is actually working really well to get the field going again. So Mr. Walsh was okay with those folks on there as well.
Would you anticipate then they would keep that same practice schedule even if we're making it?
Yeah. That process, that protocol for the practices has already been in place. I think it's working fairly well. And essentially, it's really our only option at this point. And we looked at them being on the football practice field, practicing and playing their games, but that's adjacent to the JV baseball field. So with foul balls coming over the backstop, it's not a safe situation to have another team right behind them in the afternoon.
Okay, great. Anyone else have any questions while we have Edgar in the hot seat?
I just have a prepared statement I'd like to read. And I already emailed a copy to Mr. Johnson so he could put it on the record. Education is perhaps one of the most controversial words in the English language, not just the way it's provided, but also the simple definition, i.e. accountable versus an unaccountable noun. Society has long argued over the type of education that is mandated. We have argued over the way education is even delivered. And we have argued over what constitutes education, such as providing extracurricular activities gives students a well-balanced educational experience. This is the specific definition of education that I would like to address. The board has been asked to support a recommendation to absorb the club sport of lacrosse at an initial cost of $50,000. The prevailing argument for this recommendation is that lacrosse is an emerging sport and the student participants deserve to be involved in a school-sponsored sport for increased competition and the chance to compete for college scholarships. Looking closely at this argument, its base is that lacrosse students don't have access to these opportunities, so the school should provide them. This argument has no legitimacy as far as I'm concerned. The Elanco School District provides 14 different sports that field 57 different teams. For a school that has a student body of 3,500 students, this is quite a broad variety of choices to fuel the contra-argument that Elanco School District already provides a well-balanced educational experience. After the $50,000 initial investment, of which half can be attributed to capital costs, Elanco School District will be responsible for $20,580 in salaries, not including Peaser's contribution for the athletic director and the assistant athletic director for the remaining years, which totals roughly around $100,000 every 5 years we're going to spend for this. I would like to suggest that as a minimum, the board strongly consider raising the current activity fee to $50 per student to help defer the long-term cost attributed to this additional obligation.
site, and it's a very, I feel it's just a really good use of the money that we benefited from our partnership with Columbia, and it's really not to help all the students, but it is something visible that people can say, you know, hey, this is how we helped our school. I know I've been a big supporter of this from the get-go, so I want to say thank you.
The only caution I would suggest is regarding Mr. Jones' statement, the activity fee. If we're going to entertain an activity fee increase, I would do that as a part of a budget discussion so that everyone doesn't think their activity fees went up because of a loss. I wouldn't want people to make that connection. But certainly we'd be open to that discussion come budget time.
I agree, because I think it's been a few years since we visited that fee, since we started on holidays, and about 5 years since we had that. Maybe more than that, and I don't think it's changed, so that's something we should probably review when we get into the budget time again.
Yeah, and I support this this recommendation as well, and but I do agree that it's something we should take a look at. I was thinking the same thing, the activity fee overall. I have no problem with taking a look at that and seeing where we're at, if it was something that would help to absorb at least some of the cost. I just feel that I think, either it's a discussion we have, is athletics valuable to education, or if it is not, you know, that's a separate discussion. I think if we have an athletic program, I think lacrosse has proven that it's certainly deserving of being on an equal footing with the other sports, and so I do support it as well. I appreciate Rodney's comments also.
I too appreciate the point that you're making, and I agree. That's what I was trying to say, that we have to include it, but I guess what I'm saying is that the cost has earned a place at the table, and that we look at our athletics program as a whole, and if I actually am in favor of looking at raising the fee or doing what needs to be done to make it, I mean, it is a lot of money, that's fair to say, and as Mr. Jones said, education is definitely, we can really talk all evening about what all constitutes that, but yeah, I just appreciate that lacrosse has diligently and consistently done what was asked, provided the statistics, and I think you got it right. So I hope that we can move forward with this.
Okay, that would be an action item for the meeting next week.
Okay, very good. If you want to continue on.
Yeah, let's continue on. As part of my contract, superintendent's contract, conferences that I attend must be shared with the board ahead of time. These are two conferences I typically attend. We'll have several teachers attending with me the PACE conference because it's fairly close this year, and then the PASA PSBA annual leadership conference. As a member of the PASA Board of Governors, it's strongly suggested I get there for at least that one day, so I will be on one day for that conference. And the Pennsylvania Council of International Education, that is a special one for me this year, as I am receiving an award from that group, so I'd really like to pick it up. That's one that I have gone through for years that has been the inspiration for a lot of our board competency activities and international connectedness that we participate in. So I'd be asking for approval for those two conferences next week as well. Additionally, action item, officer elections. Recall that you need to pick your officers for PSBA and vote on those individuals for next week. Justin, that's correct. We have until the end of the month for that vote. It runs through the secretary. If you're looking for recommendations, there are recommendations coming from Rich Frerick and Manor. If you're interested, I can share those with you. Or you may look at the officer slate candidates on your own. We need to do that one official at a time, so we need to have a separate vote for each person, and the board needs to vote as a whole to select those officers. Mm-hmm. Any questions on that? It's something we do every year. Next item I have is information. We are fortunate that we signed on early. I sent information home to all families. One of the elements that teased out of the surveys that we did last year regarding career preparedness for students and options for parents and making parents aware of what's potentially out there for students in terms of career choices that aren't just college or just CTC. We have a career awareness event coming up. We were one of the few sites selected in the county. It's a county initiative, and we have that information attached for you there to review. We did send a letter home to parents and attached, actually it was on the reverse side of the letter, inviting parents to this event that will take place at the end of the month, sponsored by the Workforce Investment Board, Lancaster County STEM, and Pennsylvania Career Link. A number of these different organizations we're working with our high school to find careers other than the traditional college or CTC paths, creating multiple paths for students to explore, to get them to high pay, high skill, high priority occupations that are family sustaining wages. So an event taking place at the end of this month, all along the town board members and community. Next thing I have is just some more information. If you recall, the foundation partially paid for a trip for students to go to Germany this past summer. This particular trip is an exchange, so students from Germany come here, and they will be arriving at the end of the month on the 23rd of September, and we'll stay for about 8 days. We have 20 students who are coming and sharing houses with our students. Several chaperones, a principal of a school is also coming. So we're excited to have our visitors here. They'll be attending classes part of the time, and then we'll show them some of our local exciting locations, Valley Forge Park and Philadelphia and some other sites and sounds of the area. So we're excited about this. This is intended to be an ongoing exchange, so we're hopeful that we can continue to do that. Compliments to Matthew Eller and Laura Trimble, who set that up, two of our high school teachers. Again, we'll be welcoming those students at the end of the month. Any questions on that?
Take them to the Edward Farm Trip.
They could do that. I don't think that's on the docket.
That would be a cultural.
we want them to come back next year. I'm sure they'll get it all. I think they'll do some of the Amish stuff too. So, in fact, it's ironic. Quick story, put it quick, I promise. The first time I ever came to the Amish experience, I was bringing students from England when I was in Quakertown. We had an exchange. It was the first time I actually visited my own tourist spots here in Lancaster. And it was awesome. They were really doing a great job. But it was kind of fun. Seeing it through their eyes was really entertaining. I think it'll be a good experience for our kids to show off their country and all that goes with that. So it's just a great opportunity for everyone. Continuing down the list, item F, immunization update. We are now at zero officially. There's one student who seems to have just gone missing, hasn't showed up for anything, so we believe that student has moved on. Just so the board is aware, we went out of our way to communicate those immunizations. All the superintendents did. It was not a secret. Unfortunately, folks just procrastinated on that issue. We made it as easy as possible, and quite frankly, it just wasn't going to. I was following the letter of the law, but I was going to do that regardless. I couldn't invite students in who were not immunized, putting everyone else at risk. I don't think it'll be a problem next year because folks will know we're going to take it seriously, and people will learn. But fortunately, we are back to zero at this point. And my compliments to my nursing staff, the Dean's nursing staff, who called and wrote letters and called, did everything they could, called places to get free shots and free immunizations and set up transportation. We just did a lot to make that happen. So compliments and appreciation to all. The last thing I just wanted to share, it's more of a commercial because I haven't pursued it at length, but I did share it with faculty on the opening day. Also through this organization, this conference that hopefully you guys will approve next week, I made a connection through the Asia Society. The Asia Society is a nonprofit organization that promotes global studies and international relations, particularly with China. Dr. Larkin and I met via phone with a gentleman, his name is Bradley Fueling, who is trying to recruit and set up American schools in China, recruiting teachers and using American curriculum. It would be a privately funded operation. In other words, wealthy China business persons are interested in setting up American schools in China, which should tell you a lot about our American school system. There's people who still value it, not so much in this country, but it's valued everywhere else, it seems. And they really want the schools to be run just like American schools with American language. So it's something we're kind of poking around with. I don't know that we could fully support a school, but perhaps in partnership with all the schools in the county, maybe we could pull a few teachers from each school district and really provide that opportunity. Of course, the benefits of that exchange are limitless. Students coming back and forth, teachers coming back and forth, and so on. So I'm just making you aware there's no formal request or action, but I did want you to know that I'm going to spend a little time fleshing this idea out, because I do think it has great potential for a lot of folks. Real exciting, I think. The gentleman we spoke to couldn't have been more friendly and flexible and willing to fly us right over and start taking a look at China. So I wasn't ready for that myself, but we are looking at potentially forming some kind of partnership that I think would ultimately benefit our kids. So that's just an FYI. As I continue to develop that thought, I will share those pieces as we move on. Any questions for the management report?
Oh, just one. Is Dave Whitaker still on the foundation board?
Yes, he is, for a little while longer.
Yeah, he goes to China pretty regularly.
He does.
So he might be a resource.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. Yeah, he does. Yeah, we have some fantastic. We do have them report to you once a year. But we have some amazing global connections with people who serve on that board. You'd be really surprised at how many companies just in this area have a global footprint. And it really is important that we expose that to our kids, who really, really should be plugging into some of that. So, he's been a great board member too. Thank you. That concludes management's report. We'll go back up to the top.
Okay, sounds good. Property and services, Mr. Rand.
Yes, thank you. I have two action items for next Monday night. The first is a carryover from our August board meeting. It's the approval of the revised policy number 246 of school hours. There's been no changes since it was presented in August. I don't anticipate any changes for next Monday either, but if there is, I don't think. The second action item is the approval of the agreements with the Columbia Borough School District for executive, business, and human resources and technology services. The Columbia Borough School District did approve the agreements at their September 7th, last Thursday's committee of the whole meeting. You'll see that the terms of the agreements for the executive service is 4 months, October 1st through the end of January. For the business and human resources and technology, there are a 3-year agreement beginning October 1st, and they go through June 30th of 2020. I did include the agreements along with the appendices that are noted in the agreements. And the only thing that I wanted to share with the agreements is that it does contain an automatic escalating clause, which is the average of the Elanco and Columbia Borough School District's index. If you were going to use, say, the 2017 indexes, Elanco's was at 2.5%, Columbia's was at 3.7%, so the average would be 3.1. So it should be right around 3% going forward. So I do not have any information items, so that's my report.
Just a point of information, the district solicitor did review those documents. Mr. Litz looked at those documents, all the legalese. Initially, Mr. Yoder and Mr. Jones met with Mr. Litz to flesh out parameters, and the attorneys passed it back and forth to finalize. So I think they're good documents. They're very similar to the ones that were approved in the pilot.
Very good. Thank you. Were there any questions or any other conversation on the service agreements? Yes,
Mr. I might add that Columbia Borough School District approved the contracts unanimously. One of the few things that I remember they've done as a board unanimously. We're all crushed in a long, brief time.
We got a reporter covered. Yeah. She was surprised too.
Good point.
We had a recount. Paul, thank you for bringing that up. That shows we are making progress.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Okay, well, great. Then, if there were any other questions and anything else regarding property and services, if not, we will move on to the program. Dr. Mark.
Yes, what I'd like to do is start with the two action items because they're brief, and then I'll have the information item, which I'll turn over to Dr. Winters. Our first action item is, again, we have some affidavits of guardianship that need to be approved next week. You have that information in the agenda manager. Any questions about those? And the second action item is the approval of a contract with PA Educator. That is the system that we use to hire our teachers. They go in there and they put in an application and all their reference letters and clearances. And so that's what we use to pull candidates for positions that we have. And so we need your approval to have your president and board secretary sign the contract.
Is that something that's pretty much most school districts use that system?
Yes.
That's kind of the mm-hmm. system of record.
Yeah, it's most districts use either PA Educator or PA REAP.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
So how do we choose this service over PA REAP?
PA Educator is the one that's used mostly in this area, in Lancaster, London area, and just east of us as well. And so that's the one that we just use regularly. We have PA REAP is more down towards Philadelphia that it gets used.
Can you only use one?
Actually, no. But we just, at this point, we can get into PA REAP if we don't have anybody that, on PA Educator, that either meets our specifications or for those of us that are looking for those positions that are hard to find, such as, you know, science or specific math, we could get onto PA REAP. We'd have to talk with them about giving us access to that.
Do they do it as a per use charge on basis, or?
We've never had to do that, so
okay.
I don't have an answer for that right now. But usually people sign up on both because it is free for them to sign up.
Is that something that would give us advantage over other competing school districts if we were members of both?
We were members of both years ago. We found that we were actually first, PA Educator came along. We switched over to PA Educator. It was a budget scenario that saved some dollars at the time. But given our current situation in trying to find teachers, it may not be a bad idea to explore being members of both and what that might, the ramifications of being members of both would be. It's not a bad thought. We can come back with a cost for PA.
It'd be worth it. Right,
I think
it would be
worth
what the cost would be. Mm-hmm. You're trying to fill a position, say, like AP chemistry, for example. Segues into the.
Very
nice. Very clever. Playing your AP chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will bring back that information for PA REAP at next month's meeting. Okay? And now I'll turn it over to Dr. Winters, who's going to talk to you about a textbook.
Good evening. Wanted to speak with you tonight about getting a new textbook for AP Chemistry. To give you a little bit of background, we had purchased a new text for AP Chemistry around the 2012 school year. It was a flash drive system. It was Trivedi's Chemistry in a Flask. And what we have found over the past roughly 6 years is that it's become obsolete very, very quickly as the field of chemistry continues to change. And continues to evolve. And so we've looked at other options. And so the option I bring to you tonight is the Zumdahl text for AP Chemistry. The College Board generates a list year after year of the best text resources for AP Chemistry. Zumdahl's on his 10th edition. He and his wife do this textbook, and it consistently, year after year after year, is one of their top three recommended for AP Chem. The other reason that we really like this text is because it comes in an e-reader format. And we're really trying to move in the direction of getting away from hardback print textbooks. And I brought one of the Zumdahl texts with me. It's about 900 pages, and it's pretty intense. And so to have an e-book version would be very nice. These e-readers have the ability to download the textbook onto the computer, and students can still access it if they don't have internet. So, you know, if a student's taking AP Chemistry and they have to work at home, need access to the textbook, as long as they've downloaded it onto their laptop, it has a component called Vital Source that allows them to read it even without Wi-Fi, which is a really nice feature. The subscription is good for 6 years, the ebook subscription, and then you have to renew. As far as the design of the book, it focuses heavily on conceptual understanding and problem solving and real world applications, which is all very, very important in terms of the AP Chemistry exam and also some of the skills that we want students that take that course to have going into college. We have close to 25 kids currently enrolled in AP Chemistry, so it is an AP course that we're consistently getting good solid numbers in. So I don't envision it would be a case of where we would purchase the textbook and then it wouldn't be a wise use of money. I think we continue to have students that would be enrolled in the class. In the document that is up on Agenda Manager, there is an e-sample link. If you go into that, it's a demo. You can go in and you can look at the book electronically. Or if you just prefer the hard copy text, I have two student editions and one teacher edition with me this evening. You're welcome to take one with you and, you know, look at that as well. The total cost is $3,725. About 65% of that will be paid for out of the high school science department budget, and then the remainder of it would be paid for out of the district curriculum budget, out of Dr. Larkin's budget. The e-reader version is a little bit cheaper than the print version. The print version is around $3,900. But as Dr. Larkin and I spoke about this, we just feel like we're a one-to-one district. We're promoting using technology, and, you know, just the e-book just seemed to be the better course of action. So, are there any questions about the text or the resource or the cost? Great. If you have any questions as you look at the e-reader, or if you want to take a hard copy with you, feel free to send me an email and I'll be happy to build this question. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just checking out the demo here real quick. It does look very user-friendly. So I think that would be needed for me anyways.
Yeah. I know Mrs. Eisel always likes to check out the books.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
you want to
read
that.
I think just the visual
there you go.
Makes me a fan of the e-reader version. I don't even have to hold it.
So if there are no other questions, that is my report.
Okay, very good. Anybody have any other questions on the program? Well, and I guess we've covered our agenda. We do have to have the need for an executive session afterwards for a property matter.
As well as a legal matter.
Did anyone else have any announcements? Or?
Just last week, I went to the meeting at Peckway High School with the Senator Allman, Senator Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about property tax and put on quite a show. Of course, I got up to provide an opposing view. Reminded them that they are elected Republicans and they should vote for small government and control of the local government officials. But it was well attended. It was packed house. And I recommended they get an impartial statistician to review their data.
Very good. Okay, anything else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you for coming out.